I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And we welcome you to the program. Here we go again. Coming up this hour, we got more of the best in money information. Of course, we're going to talk strategy with the Brain Trust in just a moment or two. I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, here with me once again to tackle your financial issues. And that's exactly what we're going to do for the balance of this hour. We're going to be taking your phone calls and, of course, some of your emails. We will get to each of those just as soon as possible. We'll get to your phone calls very, very quickly within the next minute or so. Lots to do this hour. The best in money advice, of course, as always, is right here on this program. Give us a call right now, 877-PLANNER. Our lines are open. If you want to call, email the Brain Trust, you just go to our website, wealthed.com. You find the link at the top that says Find Your Answer, and we're going to get to it this hour on the air. Did I promise last hour you get to emails, Professor Plum?
I don't remember you promising last hour.
Okay, good. All right. I'm going to
almost...
You
didn't break that one.
Okay, good. I'm going to almost promise this hour. But once again, they're always answered off the air, too, so you'll get your answer. At wealthed.com, I want to remind you, you'll find blog posts, audio, video, articles that we refer to on this program. But phone calls do take priority. So if you call right now, we'll get you up on the board right away. We got some folks on hold, and we've also got a few lines open for you right now here as we begin the show at the top of the hour. Professor Rick Plum here with me once again, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. They will remind you, as will I, that this planning stuff is complicated. Yes, especially if you want to try to do it right. I think everyone wants to do it right, don't they? I would assume so. Let the Brain Trust do the heavy lifting for you. Don't try this on your own. Call Professor Plum or any of the advisors, Bucket Strategy Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Call them today. Find out if you're on the right path to retirement. Here's their off-air number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. You can talk to an advisor like Professor Plum, and keep in mind they're here to help you out. Once again, off the air, 800-644-1150. Our number on the air, 877-PLANNER. We do have some people on hold. So, Professor Plum, we'll get to some more of this estate planning stuff and really estate tax issues that I want to bring up with you and sort of clear up some of the confusion on that. But we're going to take a couple of calls first. Well, let's get to Dorothy first up this hour in Philadelphia, PA. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I have a question about disability, Social Security, and workman's comp.
Okay.
Now, okay. A friend of mine is on workman's comp. They're 60 years old, and I suggested that they file for disability, Social Security. Now, I know they can't collect them both at the same time, but I thought, doesn't it make sense that they get that approval for disability Social Security so that when their workman's comp ends, and it will eventually, then they can slip right into collecting?
Yeah, depending on which one's higher, I may try to get the Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they're eligible for the Social Security, and it's higher than the workman's comp, there's no discount by taking it a year early, 6 months early, or whatever the case may be. It doesn't increase by waiting to take the disability side of it. So, yeah, I think that applying for it, how long have they been disabled?
It just happened.
Okay, then it's going to take a little while. They're going to wait 5, 6, 7 months somewhere in there before they'll accept the claim. It takes a little while.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It would be a few months. All right, then I just wanted to make sure that I was correct in that it doesn't pay to wait.
No, once you're eligible for it, but you'll be, especially if it's more than the workman's comp, it makes sense to do that.
I don't think that it is. It's pretty low.
The
probably not, but
the Social Security,
the workman's comp,
though, or the have it ready for them.
The workman's comp is low or the Social Security is low?
Social Security.
Well, how much do you think they're going to be eligible to get from Social Security?
I'm told 900.
Okay, so that would be their full retirement age benefit or close to it.
That's what they said. I don't know if they have it correct, but that's what they said.
Okay. But yeah, check it out. And if that's the case, if the workman's comp is the higher one, I'd want to make sure I didn't get Social Security before I lost my workman's comp. So I'd try to coordinate a little bit. But she can't get it for, is it 5 or 7 months, no matter what?
So, all right, so they once they get going on their workman's comp, then they can apply for the work for disability and that wait for the other one to end before the other second one kicks in. Am I correct?
I that's my understanding of it. How you coordinate it, I don't know.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good luck to them,
thank
and hopefully
you.
They can come back from this.
Yeah, thank you, Dorothy. The disability benefit is based on...
It's basically your full retirement age
but
benefit.
But it's a little short of it, isn't it?
Well, it's as if you had retired today based on a certain number of years and other parameters, but it's like your full retirement age benefit today. Now, a lot of people, it's less than their full retirement age benefit because they don't have the benefit of the next several years of working, paying into the system at a very high rate, potentially.
Right, so they're
you
missing
know,
out
our highest
on that.
Earnings
yeah.
rate are usually in our 50s and early 60s. Those are usually our highest earnings rates.
Now you've got pretty much zeros going
well, they
forward.
Don't look at the zeros. They just, the fact that...
No, I know that.
You're not replacing a $25,000 a year
exactly.
with a $95,000 a year.
That's what I mean. It's as if you said, okay, I retire now and I'm not going to pay into it anymore, so yeah. here's my 35 or whatever it is I have.
I just got to 35 years worth of earnings, except for a couple of those early years were $500.
Yeah.
You know, I was in college.
$8,000.
Yeah, even inflation index, it's not going to help a lot.
No.
And now I'm really hitting my stride working and I'm making at or above the wage base. So every year I work, I'm taking a nice, you know, healthy income and replacing one of those early 35.
Exactly.
And so that really pushes my benefit up. But I don't have that option with the disability anymore because
You're not working.
I'm frozen in time.
877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Let's move along next to Tom in Santa Clara, California. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
Sure.
Here is my situation. I have a rental property, and with all the depreciation and interest and the rent which I'm getting, overall I'm in the negative, so all my tax, all my losses are deferred because of my income limit, so I'm not able to take all the losses for every year.
Right.
Now I have taken the cash out from that property, and so now since I've taken the cash out, I have more interest, which will be getting deferred. And my plan is to use that cash out and invest somewhere else. And I wanted to see that what a strategy I can use so that I can take off the interest deduction, at least on the part which I'm going to invest, rather than getting it deferred through my Schedule E, which is coming from my rental.
Well, technically, the fact that you borrowed money out of a currently rental property and you did not use the funds on that property, technically the interest is not deductible. Everybody does it, and only if you're caught is it going to be a problem. But the idea would be to show that interest against the income from the new property you buy. You're going to rent it. You're going to buy another investment property, right, Tom?
No, actually, I'm either planning to invest in some other, like syndication, which will issue my a K-1, or I will be investing in the stock market.
Okay, so you would be potentially limited. And so your income is over the $150,000 threshold, so you can't go negative. You can use the interest to offset the income from the rental property, although this new interest isn't supposed to be written off. Most people do, as I mentioned. But so you would lose the ability to use some of your depreciation now, but that's fine. You just won't recapture as much later on. But there's really, you can't go less than zero on the income stream, taxable income from that rental property activity based on whatever deductions you have. The interest will be taken first. All the physical expenses will be taken first. So you will be able to use those physical expenses to offset the income from that rental property. And then the depreciation comes off next. And so as long as the physical expenses don't reduce you to zero on your income stream from your rental activity, it's the depreciation that is not being taken. And that depreciation, basically, it's like not being, it's suspended. It's all this accounting rigmarole. But it's like you didn't take it, so you don't have to recapture it later on. But you can't go less than zero.
Oh, okay. So only the depreciation part gets kind of deferred.
Well, only
to the extent
that your physical expenses, your maintenance, your repairs, your interest and things like that, to the extent they don't completely wipe out your income from that rental activity. Let's say I've got $30,000 of rental activity and $15,000 of expenses that are deductible against that activity, then I have, you know, still have positive income. My depreciation will wipe out the rest of it, but I can't go less than zero. But if I've got $45,000 of physical expenses right up front, but only $30,000, now I'm not even able to, I have to suspend those expenses and carry them forward. So you need to get with an accountant that can help explain this better, but there's really no way around it.
Okay. So if I just invest in the stock market, I cannot deduct the interest from the profit which I get.
You're not supposed to. But like I said, everybody does it.
People do it.
All right.
But we'll tell you the rules, Tom. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks a lot for your information.
Okay, thank you for the call, Tom.
The interest on a rental property is deductible against that rental property because I use the loan to buy that rental property.
Right.
Or I use the loan to, you know, improve that rental property. But if I have a rental property that I end up paying off over the years, and then I borrow 100%, 80%, whatever it is again, and I go out and I, you know, spend it on a vacation, I do other things with it, technically, that's no longer a loan that was used to create the investment property. And technically, not supposed to be deducted.
Right. And if they figure that out, and you do it, and they look at it, then, you know, it's going to be disallowed, would be my guess. So, just, you know.
It's what I've been told.
That's right. Okay, we'll just do it when we follow the letter of the law here. All right, stick around. We got more coming up. We'll put Raymond up next in Portland, Oregon. Stick around. Jack in Stuart, Florida, and a couple others on hold. 877-PLANNER. Our lines are open, but just two lines open. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum, coming right back.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk. Lucia Capital Group advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement plan presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, certified financial planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, chartered financial consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need back-to-school supplies for my son.
Well, Staples has everything you need at low prices every day.
He needs folders, binders, a backpack.
Well, sounds like quite the little organizer.
No, he's quite the little loser.
Come again?
He loses papers, homework, you name it, he loses it.
Ah, that kind of loser.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Back-to-school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back-to-school at low prices every day. Like a 4-pack of 3M Post-its for just $3. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in-store, 10 online.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2America, red, white, and you.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Get your calls in right now. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER. We're here from Lucia Capital Group talking to you about your money, answering your money questions as we do every day on this program. And this is what Professor Plum does for a living, folks, all right? He does this for a living every day, answers money questions for people, and helps devise strategies and plans for you. Let's move along next to Raymond. By the way, 877-PLANNER. If I didn't get it, there's your number. Raymond, Portland, Oregon. Hello, Raymond.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. Better than I ought to be, probably. I heard you talking about living trusts and estates and things earlier in the show. And my dad passed about, probably a year and a half ago. Left an estate, probably 750,000, to be divided up between 5 siblings.
Okay.
Two of my siblings were the trustees. And I've read the living trust, and it said, you know, they can make gifts, yada, 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 in accordance with his wishes. And because he always contributed to the church on a regular basis. And they did that while he was still alive. But now that he's gone, do they still have the privilege to just make gifts with this money? Now that he's gone and they're in the process of liquidating the estates and real estate, stuff like that.
Well, there should be something. There should be a section of the trust that says, upon the grantor's death, this is what should happen. It should be, unless it says the gifting should continue, it should have a very specific set of instructions for what happens after the person that created the trust, what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's supposed to be distributed to the heirs. I think per stripes is the term.
Per stirpes.
Yeah.
So they're making gifts with your inheritance, it sounds like.
So they're not allowed to give away my money now, right?
And that's the way I would read it. You need to talk to an attorney in your state, but typically, the rules, what they can do before and what they can do after a death change, because after death it says, okay, that's what happened before. After death, this is what happens. Boom. Distribute it 5 ways. And 5 ways doesn't mean 5 ways after you get done making donations, unless there's something that specifically says, I want this money donated to charity, and then split it 5 ways.
Okay.
That's my reading of it. I'm not an attorney, so you'd have to find somebody in your state that knows how to do it in your
state.
But
that sounds right, Professor Plum.
Of course, I said it.
But even if you didn't. That sounds logical to me.
That's what I'm going off of. It sounds logical, and that's what I've seen. But again, this is not a legal opinion in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, well, that's what I read, and so, I didn't want to argue with anybody until I had some confirmation that I probably read it correctly.
Well, you probably did, but once again, it would behoove you to probably at least get the legal opinion of somebody, an Oregon attorney, and say, hey, here's the situation. What do you think about that? Even if it costs you a little bit of money to get them to look at it.
Okay, real good. Thank you, guys.
All right,
appreciate
Raymond.
Your show.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
As long as what it costs him for the opinion is less than what the sisters are giving
away.
Well,
that's the other thing. I don't get into how much that is, but it can't be a whole lot. Just say, look at this. I'll pay you for your time, and that'll be that.
You can't just, I guess you could, but I mean, it sounds strange to just keep giving away money and say, hey, wait a minute.
And all of a sudden, you've given the whole estate away.
Right. And that does not sound like what the original intent of the estate was.
And that's the issue you've got to go back. And that's why trustees or successor trustees are so difficult to choose.
I know. And weren't we talking about the importance of that last hour?
We were.
Okay, we'll talk more about this. 877-PLANNER. Let's go to, it was Jack. Let's go next to Jack in Stuart, Florida. Hello, Jack.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen all the time.
Thank you.
To clarify your former call about the Social Security and disability.
Right, the workman's comp.
Right, the workman's comp and Social Security, yeah. You're allowed to collect both.
Yeah.
And what Social Security disability does is, if you were making more, you're only allowed to collect 80% of both of them combined of what you were making on your job. And what they do is, if you're making more, there's what they have, Social Security has what they call an offset, and they will reduce your Social Security disability down to the 80% of the combined, you know, when you were working.
Right. Now, I've never really studied the workman's comp, so thank you.
Yeah, but what happens is, once you turn to your full retirement age, let's say it's 65, they'll stop that offset and they'll bring it back to your full Social Security disability.
It's kind of like an earned income offset.
It is. It's exactly the same way. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Not the exact same way, but close. I mean, but
yeah, but you're definitely allowed to collect both of them.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I knew that Social Security wouldn't be reduced, but I thought maybe they would reduce the workman's comp. I haven't studied the interaction between the two of them before.
Yeah, well, the same thing with workman's comp is, even if you work, you can collect workman's comp, and if you're doing a lighter duty job, it works the same way. You're still only allowed to collect 80% of what you were making on your job. It's the same thing that disability does.
Well, they don't want to make you richer disabled than you were working.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly. Most disability, you know, if you go out and buy disability insurance, it will only cover 60 to 70% at the most of your pre-disabled income, because they don't want to give you an incentive to try to work the system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jack.
I'm going to have to actually look at the workman's comp.
For whatever reason, I've just stayed away from workman's comp rules.
It doesn't come up a lot, at least not on our program. And you know, what you do is more planning. You do financial planning. You talk more about strategy and things like this, of which Social Security and, of course, Medicare and things like that are a very big part. So naturally, that's where you would concentrate most of your efforts on.
Right. And I've studied more of the Social Security retirement benefits
than the disability
benefits, because unfortunately disability is something you react to. Retirement hopefully is something you plan for.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've never gotten the official word as to why, when you buy disability insurance, they won't cover much more than, I've seen 50%, 60%.
Two reasons. One is that they don't want to incentivize you to be disabled and to work the system, go find a doctor, he'll sign off. The other is, if you're buying disability insurance on your own, you're paying for it out of your pocket, you're just buying a personal policy, if you are disabled, the benefit that you're receiving is tax-free. You paid with after-tax dollars for the premium, you receive the benefit tax-free. They do not want to make you better off with the disability coverage than you were working. So,
because it's better for you?
Well, they don't want to incentivize you. It goes against.
Well, how about making you exactly the same as you were?
Well, there's a theory that 70% is the same.
Because of your paying your FICA and Medicare and
all those
that
different
stuff?
Yes.
So it's based
on. In fact,
70%
may be better.
It's based on the gross, you're saying? Is that when you say if you can get 60% of what you were making before on disability, that's based on the gross amount.
Right, and they're also looking at, remember, they're not looking at human emotion in this as much as they're looking at morbidity tables, how many people get. So they're pricing it on real disability, not somebody working the system to get disabled. And so they don't want to incentivize you to show that you're disabled when you're not really disabled, because then that throws off their tables, throws off their pricing, and it becomes too expensive.
Okay, I can kind of see that, I suppose. I mean, don't go after the people. Go after the doctors who are, you know, writing these things off, saying this person is disabled. You know?
But and we've seen disability claims for Social Security jumped in 2009.
Well, of course, because so many people were out of work.
And they figured, let's find a way to, you know, that disability that was nagging me before, but I was able to work, now I can't work. It's the same disability, and maybe they should have been on it before, but it goes against the definition of what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I suppose so. All right.
It bankrupt the trust fund.
I wasn't even going to mention that. There isn't one. 877 Planner. Yeah, we're going to come back. Going to rough up Professor Plum a little bit and more when we return. Don't go away.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Who's there?
Fallen off.
Fallen off who?
Fallen off pain patch.
What?
Don't be fooled by the knock-knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidocare Pain Relief Patches. Our narcotic-free, maximum-strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock-knock joke anymore. Because pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one, and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury and safety Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event, now through August 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and 0.99% APR financing on select models available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties. APR offer available only to qualified customers. Call 1-800-FOR-MERCEDES for details about costs and terms.
Napa Know How!
In third grade, there's one way to protect yourself. Karate. But now that you're mostly grown up, pick up a dash cam at Napa for just $39.99. With 8 gigs of storage, a wide-angle lens, and loop recording, it's everything you need to protect yourself on the road. The Napa dash cam for $39.99. It's no flying mantis neck kick, but just as effective. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 8/31/16.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Planner, get on board. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here for you every day at this time, talking to you about your money. We were talking earlier this hour, and of course a lot last hour, if you happen to be watching and or listening to that particular discussion, on estate planning. And one of the things that estate planning is not entirely about, but it does have something to do with, Professor Plum, often can be estate taxes. Let's just talk for just a moment about the whole idea of estate taxes, who should be concerned about them and who should not.
Well, as we mentioned earlier in the show, it depends on the state that you live in. Some states do not have an estate tax. Somehow, those of us in California, which has a horrible income tax, we don't have a death tax or estate tax.
But we keep that on the QT.
But other states, Washington State has one at a $1 or $2 million size. And different states across the U.S. have much lower estate limits for taxing transfers than the federal government. Right now, the federal government's limit is $5,450,000 per person.
And you say limit, meaning that you can have that much in your estate without paying estate tax.
There's technically no tax paid by the decedent's estate on the first $5,450,000 of value that is included in their taxable estate. Now, what do I mean by value included in the estate? Money that I pass to my spouse, as long as my spouse is a U.S. citizen, is not included in my taxable estate. I can give my spouse any amount of money I want, assuming they're a U.S. citizen. So that if I had a $100 million estate and I gave my spouse $95 million of that $100 million and I gave $5 million to my kids, I don't have an estate tax due, because the amount going to somebody other than my spouse is only $5 million, and I can exclude, or I basically don't have to pay the tax on the first $5,450,000 today in 2016 of estate value. That's assuming I haven't given it all away before this. But if I do give more than $5,450,000 of value away at my passing as a taxable estate, then I do have a federal estate tax. Right now, the federal estate tax maxes out at 40%. So anything above that, basically 40% of it is a tax that the estate owes to the federal government. So if I give $15,450,000 away at my death, single individual, my estate will owe 40% of the excess, $10 million, they'll owe $4 million in estate taxes. Now, my first issue is I need to get $15,450,000.
We're still working on that.
Not there yet, but Lord willing, we'll be there someday. So it's all about, what do you need to do and what do you need to worry about? Now, a married couple, you know, does have the ability. If let's say my wife and I are worth $10 million, if I die and give it all to her, in the old days, that created an estate tax problem for her. But if I die, there's something now since 2010 called portability of the exemption. She can take my unused estate exemption, so whatever I don't use of my $5,450,000, and take it over and put it on top of her exemption. So she effectively receives, if I didn't use any of mine, a $10,900,000 exemption. Now, that may or may not be a good thing, depending upon how things work out in the future, but that is one thing that the estate is still protected up to that particular number if we wanted to go that route. Other people say, well, I want to protect the estate from estate taxes, but I don't necessarily want to give my surviving spouse unfettered control of the entire estate, because maybe I have a second marriage and I have kids from a previous marriage, or my spouse is a younger spouse and there's a high likelihood they're going to get married again, and maybe they disinherit my kids or who I want the money to go to.
It's happened before.
We've seen it. So that's where you would create estates or estate plans that actually take your share of the estate and put it into a separate trust. It can be for the income benefit of the surviving spouse, but they're not allowed to change the ultimate direct beneficiary of the estate. Those are known as like AB trusts. You may have heard of AB, ABC, ABD, ABQ, all these other things. So it's all a matter of, how do you want to structure? What kind of controls do you want to put? and how to go about it, but it's also about knowing where the estate tax limits are. You may want to have an AB trust, even though you don't have $5,450,000 combined between the two of you, because it's a second marriage, because you mm-hmm. want to have some control, because you want to make sure that your surviving spouse doesn't disinherit the beneficiaries that you've set forth.
There are still reasons to
do it.
Yes, not as many as there used to be, but there still are reasons to do it.
There used to be a nice big tax reason to do it, but the portability took away some of the tax reason for doing it, mm-hmm. but it didn't take away the management reason for doing it. And there may be a control and management reason for having these different types of estates as we go.
877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. If you've got questions on any of this, you can give us a call. We've got lines open for you, 877-752-6637. You know, if you have somebody, we talked about life insurance before. Somebody, let's say a single individual who is worth, let's call it, $6 million. So they're up a little bit over the estate tax limit. One thing that they might consider doing if they don't want their heirs to have to pay that estate tax upon their death is to use an insurance policy for it, but it has to be done the proper way.
Right. We're working with somebody right now who's worth about $15 million. And they're not old. They're about our age, John. And
what? $15 million at our age?
And they're growing. Their estate is continuing to grow. They're still working. They're still adding to it. Their net worth is still building. And so what they're looking to do is in the process of creating an irrevocable trust then and placing a life insurance policy, having the trustee of the trust buy a life insurance policy on them for about $4 million to cover today's need. And then they're working with another estate planning attorney on other techniques to help reduce the growth of the estate in the future. So they're doing estate planning on multiple levels. They're using dollars today to try to prepay, basically, at a lesser amount, the estate tax that they know they're going to do. And now they're using estate planning techniques to try to lessen the true value, at least from an estate planning side, for the successive generations going on.
Well, they're not talking about giving themselves less money, right?
No, they're talking about valuation techniques to make the estate look less valuable from an estate planning aspect.
Now, somebody might look at that and say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Is this some sort of one of those tools of the rich that people are using to try to make it look like they have a whole lot less money?
Well, by definition, it is a tool of the rich.
Exactly.
If you're not rich, you don't need the tool.
Exactly. I wanted to throw that out just because I know we've had that question before.
But there are ways, whether it be through different trust arrangements, not living trust arrangements, but through grantor trusts, through family partnerships, through lots of different things where we've talked about in the past. Let's say I have a $1 million piece of property and I want to give it to my three kids. Well, I may be able to put it into a partnership aspect today where I retain control of it with a small general partner interest, and I start giving away 30% of the asset, 30% of the partnership to each of my three kids. So my son has 30% of it. He doesn't have any control over it. He doesn't have any voting rights because I'm the general. He doesn't have the say over whether he can sell it or can't sell it. He can't do anything with it. He doesn't have any control over it. So he has a minority interest, so that his value, if you just look at, he owns 30% of a $1 million asset, you would say, well, it's worth $300,000. But without any control over it, he doesn't control when he gets income or doesn't get income. He doesn't have control over whether he can sell it or can't sell it. Is it really worth $300,000 to him? And so these are the kind of techniques. It may be only worth, in valuation terms, $200,000 to them because of the lack of control of minority ownership issues.
And that's how they do it.
That's one of the ways they do it. So there are techniques like that that allow them to show a lower valuation of the estate, whether they want to. Now, I could make a gift of that $300,000, but only use up $200,000 of my exemption.
It helps a little bit.
Because I can give more money away than the exemption shows.
Right, so you can give away 300, but if it's only going to take up 200, that's something.
Yeah, so and those numbers were hypothetical.
No,
obviously.
I know, but just, well, as were mine. But people use things like life insurance and they put them inside, let's say, as you said, a trust to help perhaps pay for the estate.
That's where
taxes.
We started with this. Okay,
yes.
Got off track.
Right,
here.
So I'm just got 2 minutes, but let's do it.
But by putting it outside the estate. Now, if he bought $4 million that he and or his wife owned, their estate went from $15 million to $19 million, and they'd owe $1.6 million in taxes just on the $4 million of life insurance. Well,
that didn't help. It made
it
worse.
That means he's only buying like $2.4 million of life insurance for the premium dollars he's paying.
Yeah.
That gets expensive. By putting it into an irrevocable trust, following all the rules about there, the trust is outside the estate. All $4 million of it will be there to help pay for the estate taxes. And so it does have a better use, a better cost effectiveness. And if they live to be 120, life insurance wasn't a very good deal, even survivorship life. But if they lived a normal life expectancy, it's a reasonable, life insurance is tax-free in this respect, tax-free rate of return potential.
Yeah, right now you can give away 5 million, I always say.
Well, you can give away 14,000 a year without any issues.
I don't mean give away. I'm saying your estate, your without having to pay any estate taxes, it's 5.45
million.
Million per person.
Yes.
So if you're married, you combine that, it's $10.9 million.
Those numbers are set to rise with a CPI factor each year. It was 5.35 million last year.
Yes, and it's going to keep going up.
Unlike as long as the law stays on the books.
Exactly. And it's interesting how those keep going up, but certain other things like your $3,000 ordinary income.
Your capital loss limitation.
Yes, yes. Hasn't gone up.
The taxation of Social Security at $25,000 Magi, $32,000 Magi. Hasn't gone up.
Doesn't seem to have gone up. The AMT issues.
They've done a lot with that lately.
Yeah, but not enough. Not enough.
Well,
all right.
The fact that it's still there means it wasn't enough.
There you go. 877-PLANNER. We got trivia. What's coming up on this program tomorrow? Emails and phone calls when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy,
inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fears of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150 or click contact us at luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, Control, I'm kind of bored.
I think you cut out, QL1. It sounded like you said you were bored.
That's affirmative, Control.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
All right, you cut out for sure this time. Did you say I can get a mortgage approval in minutes?
That's right, Control. Minutes. Whether you're purchasing a new house or refinancing your existing home, Rocket Mortgage securely pulls your pay stubs and bank statements to build you a custom mortgage solution so you get exactly what you want.
Wow, that is exciting.
Yep, definitely better than months of dehydrated ice cream and powdered orange drink.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years. And has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
We are short on time. We got still have a few things to take care of here before the top of the hour. 877-PLANNER, if you want to get on board, that's our number. Write it down for future reference as well if you need a question answered. You've got a question, comment, or concern, something that needs to be discussed on this program, we will talk to you about it. Money is our focus, right? It's what we do on this program. And today we talked quite a bit about estate planning. I don't think we covered all of it, but we've covered a good portion of it. We had a lot of good calls from folks asking about different estate planning questions. Now, coming up tomorrow, here's another thing that really speaks well to strategy, and it's a topic called asset location. You probably heard us talk about this before. Asset location. Different, although it goes hand in hand with asset allocation, which I'm sure you've heard of. Which assets, how much do you allocate to small cap, mid cap, large cap, international, I mean, the list goes on and on. So that's asset allocation. But here we go with something called asset location. And Professor Plum, this really has a lot to do with taxation.
Has a lot to do with taxation because that is one of the areas, taxes are not just a foregone conclusion. And you may be able to manage that expense in retirement that you have. It's one of the expenses we don't want.
And it's one of the expenses people don't often count on.
And it's one of the expenses that most people don't think they have any control over. But potentially, by how you go about investing the assets that you have shown that you need by your asset allocation, you may be able to have some impact on your taxation.
Yes, and to be able to cut down on your taxation, especially in retirement, can be a really, really big thing. Because if you're paying taxes, it's the same thing as taking a pay cut. And any time that you can keep a little bit more of your money, doggone it, I think you should do that. So we'll talk about that tomorrow as a strategy. It's called asset location. Again, of course, along with anything else that is on your mind. All right, so trivia for today. Let's see. Boy, this is... Let's see if I can keep this straight, okay? Now, here's why it's a little convoluted, because it's from the Medicare Trustees 2016 report. You think these people get it right? No. Okay. Based on a June 22nd of 2016 report, the trust fund supporting Medicare Part A, that's hospital insurance, is projected to be depleted by 2028. The long-term, that's 75-year present value shortfall in the trust fund, they said, could be corrected by an immediate, oh, get this, 0.73 percent point increase in combined Medicare payroll taxes. That would raise it to 3.6. Or an immediate 16% reduction in Medicare expenditures.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I mean, why is it?
They're not going to reduce the Medicare expenditures. And so if they want to create... keep this accounting ledger
keep it a positive number, which
they want
it doesn't
black,
have to be,
you would have to pay a little bit more for your Medicare. We do pay Medicare taxes. Part of that payroll tax you pay, FICA, Medicare. FICA is the old age survivor disability side of the house. Medicare is Medicare Part A only. The Medicare taxes we pay on our wages do not cover Medicare Part B or C or D. It only goes into the Medicare Part A side of the house. And right now, as an employee, you pay 1.45%, and your employer also pays the same amount, 1.45%. Total is 2.9% coming out of your pay, basically. 1.45 directly from your pay, 1.45 from your employer. Self-employed individual, 2.9. Okay? They're both sides of the equation. They get to pay it. So what they're saying is, if you will pay an additional, what was it, 0.6 some?
It's 0.73.
0.73% combined between employer and employee, or as a self-employed, you get to pay the whole thing. If you pay that, then the accounting ledger, this little book over here we keep,
with a number in it, and that's all it is. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a number. We'll stay positive.
We'll stay in the black.
Now, guess what would happen if they continued to pay benefits as is and that number went negative? You know what would happen? Nothing. They just don't want it to be a negative number.
Well, they want to show that they're fiscally responsible and that they're balancing the budget.
Which is fiscally irresponsible. Okay, that's all. Don't get me started, Professor Plum.
States need to balance their budget because States they can't
do.
Create money.
That's it. Local governments need to. Businesses absolutely need to.
You need to.
Federal government cannot, should not. Absolutely not. Okay. Theo, Tacoma, Washington. I did get to an email.
Hey,
this
wow.
counts.
And you didn't promise today.
I didn't promise. I'm not going to promise tomorrow either. Theo in Tacoma, Washington. Do you lose any step up in basis by placing real estate into a revocable living trust? Are there any negative tax consequences? We just happened to be talking about this a little bit today, Professor Plum.
And what he's talking about is the resetting of the tax basis of a capital asset when the owner of that asset dies. You know, if I buy a piece of land for $100,000 and 30, 40 years later, it's worth $500,000, I still own it, and I die, my wife, my kids, somebody else inherits that asset. Their tax basis for determining gain or loss from that point forward is the value at the date of my death, not what I paid for it 30, 40 years ago, but what it was worth when I died. So their tax basis, when they inherit it, is based on what it was worth when I died, $500,000 in that example. If I put that asset, that piece of raw land, into a revocable living trust, it doesn't change anything from that standpoint. It's still, I mentioned earlier in the show, the revocable living trust is invisible for income tax purposes. And this is another area where it's invisible. I technically still own it through the aspects of the living trust. When I die, it still receives a new basis based on the date of my death. So you do not lose that step up in basis or that resetting of the basis when you die if the asset is owned by a revocable living trust.
A revocable.
A revocable. Not a changeable.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Not an irrevocable. Yes.
If I were to take that same piece of land and that asset, whatever it is, and put it into an irrevocable, non-changeable trust after that, now I no longer own it. It's a completely separate tax entity. My death doesn't have any impact on that asset. So my death does not change the basis in an irrevocable trust. But it does change the basis in a revocable trust, assuming I was the owner of it through the revocable trust.
Yeah, so it's, again, the question I asked, I guess, toward the end of last hour was, and we really didn't have enough time to cover this, was the reasons for doing an irrevocable or non-changeable versus a revocable or changeable trust. That could be one of the reasons.
That would be one reason why you would still keep it in a
yes.
revocable side
yes,
of the house.
Because you want it to, you want the step up
I
in
want
basis.
The step up in basis if I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's the key.
Yeah, and many times it is. Save some taxes. Why not? We are out of time. If you need the brain trust off the air, you can talk to Professor Rick Plum or call Professor Plum, any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, the brain trust we call them, at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. Don't try this yourself, folks. Talk to the brain trust, 800-644-1150. For Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.